put on our PJs, build a blanket fort. Let's go inside, get cozy, comfortable. It's not a coincidence, it's a metaphor about how we come together and build our world. And when the convo ends, we break it down and begin again. Sit down, tune in, crank it. It's time to bring your own blanket. Blanket Ninjas.
Welcome to season 3 of BYO Blanket, a yoga podcast where we get cozy and discuss interesting topics to uplift, inspire, and contribute, all inside a blanket fort. Before we start, Janan, as usual, you have a couple of things you want to say to our listeners.
Not only do I have things to say, I have things to sing. Become a blanket ninja and you'll never be sad again. If you give us money every month, I promise you happiness forever. Just kidding. It won't change anything about your life, but you will be helping us. Go to byoblanket.com and become a blanket ninja. That's a patron of the show. You just give us a very small amount of money per month so we can keep doing the show. Look, as low as $1, I know you sitting there listening in your car or your chair, you have contemplated doing it. Well, now is the day. Today's the time. Just go get your phone out, byoblanket.com. Become a blanket ninja. If you're driving, just pull over. Back to you, Maria.
Thank you. Also, the website is patreon.com/byoblanket.
Well,
and I'm sure you can find it on our website too.
Both. Yeah.
Do both. How about that?
We have a cool website.
We do. It's a great website. You should check it out.
Anyway, hi, welcome. We love you. Thanks so much for listening. If you read the title of the episode, you would already see who the guest is, but you know, we're going to ramp up anyway.
We are going to ramp it up. So per usual, well, actually, no, because I met our guest ninja at a yoga training, and this is before we moved to Houston.
Wow.
Right?
Was it?
It was right before we moved to Houston. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Literally, like, weeks before we moved to Houston.
Was it level one or two?
It was level one in Sedona. Baptiste level one in Sedona. God, it feels like it was thousands of years ago. And anyway, so yeah, I met her brother. It was great. Then we moved to Houston. Great friends. And now, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Danny Quattrone. Actually, you need to say it with Italian accent, please.
Danny Quattrone.
Thank you.
Danny Quattrone.
Yes, welcome, dude. We're so happy to have you.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
So, introduce yourselves. Yourself.
We haven't done this in a while, but most people haven't talked about their actual blankets in a while, but this is bring your own blanket. We get cozy when we do this podcast. We are sitting on a couch basically made of blankets right now, and Dani has a cute / disgusting blanket she wants to tell us about.
It's adorable.
Hey, cute / disgusting. I like that. Yes. Well, my name is Dani, and I am originally from Ecuador, but have been living in the U.S. most of my life. I am a yoga teacher, but, you know, thanks to COVID and having two children, one of them being a toddler and the other one being 7 months old, I've kind of put that on the back burner for a little bit while things kind of cool down and go back to normality.
Whatever that
and
means.
And yeah, whenever that happens, who knows? But yeah, that's kind of who I am in general. I'm a wife too. And yeah, like Maria mentioned, I have a brother who we did level one with and who I love to bits and pieces. He's awesome.
Shout out to Kevin.
I haven't seen him in 7 months because of COVID. So yeah.
Kevin, we love
but
you.
Yeah. What?
I said, Kevin, we love you. I'm giving him a shout out.
Yes.
It's a huge shout out. We love him. And I miss him too. But I know he's in good hands with his girlfriend. So we're all happy for him. But yeah, my cute / disgusting story, just so it doesn't stay up in the air about my blanket.
No, we're going to wait until the end of the episode.
Another episode about cute / disgusting. My blanket was the blanket I used during labor with my two babies. And that's all the details I'll give.
Cute.
There's a stain on it.
No.
It's there's been washed.
Thankfully, there's not a stain. It was dirty after the first birth, yeah. But there's no stain on it, sick. Thankfully.
Ugh, gross life. Circle yes. of life. Yeah.
The circle of life. The circle of life can be gross.
And it's beautiful. Gross things are beautiful, usually.
Hey, I mean...
Yeah.
Well, we're literally born from grossness. So... Yeah.
Yeah, when babies come out and everyone's like, "Oh, cute." It's like, "Mm-mm, that thing is slipped in marmalade. It is covered in goo. Yuck." It's
well, like a and potato. It can probably like, you know, touch some shit on its way out.
Sorry. Ew, Danny.
There is yeah, I like,
in case you're wondering.
It baffles my mind that people talk about childbirth as like this beautiful, like magical experience. And I'm like, it kind of, I mean, maybe it is emotionally, but like, it's messy. And I haven't done it. It sounds messy.
I kind of want to meet people who say that it's beautiful because aside from symbolically being beautiful, it is disgusting. And it, yeah, no. Well, I will say though, it kind of, after you go through it once, you let go of all your modesty. Like having a boob out doesn't matter anymore. Like, you know, my second labor, like my nurse was trying to be like, "Do you want to cover up?" And I was like, "No, bitch, let me be free." So I'm like, "I don't care if I'm showing you everything. I'm in pain here. So, you know, you better get comfortable with everything you're going to see here today."
Cute slash disgusting.
Cute slash disgusting. Yes. And listeners, believe it or not, this is not the topic for our episode.
The topic is, I mean, you could say it's cute.
I guess in a way.
It's cute slash disgusting because, you know, it's like you get that like mushy gushy feeling. It's kind of make you want to. But then also it's just cute and you like it. That was a really weird intro to our topic, Danny. Why don't you say better words than I said about it?
Yeah, well, you know, there is a lot of gratitude that happens while you're giving birth once the baby comes out. So that's what we're talking about.
Gratitude. It's cute. Fantastic. And disgusting.
Cute slash disgusting.
You know when something's so cute, you just like, do you know? You ever get that? Where it's like so, like you just kind of, you do the throw up emoji.
Squish it.
You want to squish it and just.
Who?
Just anything you think is too cute. Like your cat or your child. I don't know.
She has a dog.
Dog.
You want to squeeze them? I don't know. I kind of want to eat them.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. That's not weird.
That's
probably similar.
That is the same kind of feeling we get. Like when I see my cat, I would want to non-violently punch them, like to where they get really squished.
to where they get how cute I think they are.
Anyway.
That's amazing.
Anyway, so yes, our topic, listeners, today episode, we will be talking about gratitude.
Danny, tell us why you brought us this topic, please and thank you.
So it's been almost, I think, 2.5 going on 3 years that I have been practicing gratitude. And I say it that way because it started off as a way of me holding myself accountable to reminding myself of what is good in my life by posting a story or on Instagram. Three things is what it started as that I was grateful for. And I wasn't doing it to be flashy or to show anyone like anything. It was more like, again, holding myself accountable because I had people that after a few days started asking me like, "Hey, you know, I noticed you stopped posting it." And then I had a lot of yogis that liked the idea and actually started or asked me if they could join. And I was like, obviously, like, please, like, this is, you know, very personal, but like open practice that I would love more people to join in on. So ever since then, I've been doing this on Instagram, and then I took a little hiatus and I thought I would do journaling, but I'm an awful journaler. Like I can't get myself to do it.
Same.
Girl, I shared about how terrible at journaling I am in one of my 40 days meeting this week.
Oh, see? Synchronicity.
Yes.
It's just, I don't know why I can't get myself to open like the journal and write. Like I'm just maybe not a writer. I like that kind of, I don't know. it just didn't work for me. So I stopped doing gratitude entirely, and I started finding myself to become more angry and anxious and sad. Mm. And based on these changes, I was like, you know what? I think I need to go back to the Instagram one, just as a matter of holding myself accountable. So the reason why I think that gratitude is important, especially with what's going on, is the fact that it grounds you. So it's pertinent to every aspect of life, right? Not just, it's kind of like the way that you practice yoga on and off your mat. It's kind of that transition. It's the way to bring you back. And that's really why I brought you this topic.
Love it. Snaps for show.
Yeah.
I love that you put it as a practice. We often forget that these virtues that we want in yoga, like gratitude and contentment and non-attachment, all the things we talk about, we can forget that they are as much of a practice as Warrior Two and Sun Salutation B and meditation and whatnot. If you don't put a rhythm to it or a repetition to it, it simply will atrophy. Mm-hmm. And it's important for us to think about gratitude in particular that way, because it's such a healing practice in general. And it, I don't know, like when I think about myself practicing gratitude, I can just see it. Like I have to be in a real piss poor mood for gratitude not to help me feel better. And even if I am in a real piss poor mood and someone goes, "What are you grateful for?" It at least cracks the door open for me to like get over myself and start being grateful for something. Like, even though I'm having tough emotions, it's not, gratitude isn't a, I love that you're saying this, Danny, because it's really helping me like realize this right in the moment, right now on this podcast, that gratitude isn't always like, "Oh, I'm so happy. Oh my God, I love my life." It's actually like feel like it can happen when I'm feeling really, really sad. Like right after that sadness happens is this like really deep gratitude, you know, and like sadness was almost like the shovel that dug deeper for me so I could have that really deep gratitude when I was done feeling the feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? There's like something interesting when you brought this up, and I was thinking, okay, what do I want to talk about? Like in regards to gratitude, what do I want to say? And I was thinking about this and like I quickly, like the first things that popped into my head were, yes, I've seen tons of yogis do the Instagram post. And I remember you've been doing it for years. Like, because I, like without a fail, like I can almost always go to your story and find something about it.
Danny, you invented gratitude.
You did. You coined gratitude.
No, and to it.
Yeah, I mean, like I see a lot of on Instagram, and then there's, you know, like all those inspirational, like growth mindset accounts. And
you mean
there's
mine?
No, there's an account that's actually called that.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, there's like a lot of things on Instagram. There's like anytime you buy one of those transformational journals or anything journaling, regardless of what style or you know, what practice or what methodology it comes from, there's always something about gratitude. Like gratitude is included in just about any transformational work. Even take yoga aside, right? It's any leadership
most
workshops,
religions, right?
Religion, yeah. I mean, in philosophy, just in general, I mean, gratitude is kind of basic in that sense. It's like essential.
Yeah. And yet people resist it. And that's what's fascinating to me, because you will see that what I started doing is I started asking, what are you grateful for? And I found myself realizing that there was like this insane amount of resistance for anyone to respond. Like, yeah, you had this great side of people that were confident and would tell me like, "Hey, yeah, I'm grateful for this." And I have a lot of people that still consistently answer the question. But equally, I have a lot of people that have actually written me and told me like, "I just don't feel comfortable because I feel like I'm bragging." And that's where I think that it's really interesting that we've turned gratitude into this like almost like negative thing for some people, whereas they feel like if they are like announcing what they're grateful for, they're somehow bragging. They're scared that by sharing what some people say like blessings, I don't necessarily like using the word blessings, but a lot of people like to translate into blessings, it's going to go away.
Danny, so can we call it they're turning gratitude into bragitude.
Bragitude. Yes.
Thank you.
I dig it. I like it. It's gratitude into bragitude. Yes. Yes. So that's exactly what it is.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think people resist? Like, let's say it is bragging. Let's just, like, for the sake of our minds, we go, okay, yeah, when you're in gratitude, you kind of brag a little bit. Why would people resist that? But it's not, because
gratitude is as simple as liking a bagel. Like, I started it as, I literally used to say, I am grateful for bagels. Because in the moment, like, that's how, like, I was trying to get to it. I'm grateful for bagels. I'm grateful for air. Like, there should be nothing, like, I'm not trying to be like, I am grateful for, you know, like, I'm not counting blessings when I'm grateful. I'm grateful for basic things. Like, right now, I'm grateful that I have a blanket over me because the air in this room is really freaking cold. You know, it's as simple as that.
Why would people resist it?
I think because they transform it into thinking that you have to almost turn it into a big picture. Like, it has to be, I am grateful for my success and my career and my life and the fact that I'm busy and the fact that I make money. Like, they almost turn it into that, when I think that's kind of like almost turning, like, the very humble nature of gratitude into
bragitude.
Yeah.
Well, I think so. Like, I mean, that gets me present to right now in COVID times. Yes, Junon and I have had the, I don't know if it's luck or, I mean.
What are you talking about?
We both have jobs. Mm. We were able to buy a house. We're building a house. And that's not a lot of people can say that, right? I mean, there's like poverty and unemployment. All those rates have been going up. It's insane what's happening. And this hasn't necessarily affected us financially. Mm. You know, it really hasn't. And I have been, and I've become super aware of that, you know, because, like, I know there's people, like, I have friends that have lost jobs, that, you know, haven't been able to work for months, and, like, they're trying to figure out how to, like, live or provide for their families, and meanwhile, I'm just here, like, oh, I'm kind of fine in that sense. So it gets me present to, like, when I say things like, yes, I am grateful to have a job and I'm grateful for the career that I have and I am grateful for, you know, how nice my employer is and how, like, flexible they have been through this whole situation. And I'm, you know, proud to say that, in my opinion, they have handled it really well with their employees. And I still know there's, like, this still hint of almost, I don't know if it's guilt, and it's just, I'm really cautious about how I say that, because I don't want it to sound like I'm bragging. I don't want it to sound like it sucks for you. I'm sorry, you know, you're going through this.
Yeah, like unempathetic.
Yeah.
Or is it fear? Because what I found is that you, like, when I found myself also editing what I say as of lately when it comes to sharing my own gratitude posts, ironically, because I'm also, I think there's an element of fear in vocalizing all the things that are good in your life for the fear of them going away. Does that make sense?
Mm.
It does.
Like, it's almost like if you say it out loud too much, you're almost inviting this energy of people who are maybe in a different position and you feel like it's going to go away.
Mm.
Which is why one of the things that I see, you guys know Jamie Damaris, he's amazing. Mm-hmm. I love him. And he is one of the people that joined the gratitude posts. And he's actually one of the people that keeps me accountable to do it myself too, because I see him posting and I'm like, oh, I remember, remind myself too. And he posts about his health a lot. And while I am always very, you know, happy to hear that, that's one of the things that I always edit myself in not saying in my gratitude posts. And I've realized that it's because I have fear. Hmm. Like, I am genuinely, like it's fear. There's no other explanation for it.
Mm. Yeah. If I were to look at me and why I would hold back, my fear would just be that I come off as, like, not empathetic toward mm-hmm. other people's plights that yeah. can hold me back sometimes. And if I can toot my own horn, I usually don't hold back. I don't mind being a little, what is it called? Braggitude. Brag has a bad connotation in English for sure.
It does.
There's a big difference between bragging and confidence. And what I'm going for way more than bragging is more like confidence-itude when I'm having my gratitude. Mm. And you know what I'm hearing for all of us say is it really all comes down to being in response or being in a reaction. So it just comes down to, are you in choice or not? Because I feel like gratitude and the practice of it is all about being in choice, which, as we know on the Zoom call and a lot of people this episode and a lot of people who are listening, in the light year body of work, when you are in choice, that's when you're in your power. Yet when you're in a reaction is when you're just not in your power. Like things are happening to you. So like speaking out of, or like refraining to say something because I'm afraid, like that's an example of me being in a reaction versus me choosing to say something that like where I am expressing my gratitude and also holding the space for folks that may not have as much as me. I feel like that comes from a place of being in really powerful choice.
Mm. Absolutely. And that's exactly where, like you were saying before, about it's not about bragging, because when you're doing a list of things that you're grateful for, what you're hoping for, one is it's a personal thing because you are in a space of choice to remind yourself to be in the present moment, right? Mm. Because what gratitude does is ground you back,
yes,
to right now.
Yes, presence, yes.
And thinking about or being in reaction as opposed to being in choice and henceforth response, what it does is that you start deviating away from the present moment. Because when you're in the present, when you're in the now, everything's fine, right? Everything's okay. And so that's when you can really be clear on what you're choosing to focus your attention and your energy from. Mm-hmm. And so when you go away from that, you start going into the anxiety, right? Yeah. And from the anxiety is where all the fear, you invite all this fear.
Yeah.
And what that translates into is the fact that then, like you said, you're not holding space for other people. So while gratitude is a very personal thing, in opening it up to other people and showing that you're being vulnerable with your own space, mm-hmm. you're inviting other people to find their own presence,
yes.
to ground themselves down, to perhaps practice more self-love. Because the problem is that we've turned self-love and appreciation and gratitude for our lives into something that we're somehow supposed to be ashamed of instead of proud of.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is so interesting, just like in American culture specifically, that bragging is not, you know what I mean? It's got this weird connotation because it feels like it's something that should be celebrated. Or would be.
I don't know. There's a lot of other cultures where they're way less braggy. Like Americans, I feel like some of the most braggy people.
True.
It's ironic.
But then also weirdly like feel bad about it.
Because like think about it. Most people would tell you, oh, I don't like talking about myself. Or like, what? I don't like writing a resume. For example, I've had so many people tell me, I hate writing a resume because I don't like talking about myself.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm always like, but like a resume, it's like things that you've done and you know like what your experience is. It's not like but I hear it a lot though.
That's fascinating. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. Well, and like I told you, it's people avoid it. Mm-hmm. and whatever the reason is, I do think it comes back to fear, whether it's fear of what people think about you, fear of not being empathetic. I mean, the fear of feeling like people, like you're not being empathetic towards others, is literally being afraid of what other people may think of you.
Mm-hmm.
My fear is, you know, like I said too, is, I mean, in some cases it's that, but in many cases, like I said, it's a fear of, oh gosh, like, you know, it going away at some yeah. point, or like me putting it up in the air for it to, you know, like mine's a little more like a juju vibes, which is, you know, very different. But again, all of these elements are elements that precisely deviate you away from the present moment. It takes you into a space of everything that's against what you teach and what you practice in yoga, which is why if you bring it back to what we were speaking about in the beginning, it's gratitude is a practice.
Mm. So Dani, for someone who could be experiencing some reservations or resistance to practicing gratitude, maybe not right this second, but like, you know, I don't know, if they come across that, what advice would you give that person?
Well, it's interesting because I would say probably start with journaling, ironically.
Full of paradox.
I mean, you know, it's kind of like I personally wouldn't start it because I don't like it, but I know it works for a lot of people. And I think that if you can practice it in your own life, that's a great way to start. I mean, because I do understand why many people wouldn't want to put it out there like I do on social media, you know. And to some extent, that's fine, because while I do a list, there's a lot of things that I don't put on there, too, that I personally say it. But it creates a practice, right, of thinking about these things every day. Kevin and his girlfriend had this thing in their apartment in college that I thought was awesome. They had these little sticky notes on the door, and it said think of three things that you're grateful for. And so, you know, little reminders here and there to think about this, to think about gratitude. Mm. When you're in your yoga practice, in your breathing, I remember doing this a lot in my practice, is every single time I would struggle, I would remind myself to be grateful that I have a body that is able to move, period.
Mm-hmm.
And that would get me through, like, I would think of my physical space, and that would remind me of the power of my breath. And then I'd go into becoming grateful for my breath. Actually, having a toddler, I am constantly having to resort to the practice of the breath. And so kind of starting to notice, you know, every single day, like realize the small and the little things around you that you're like, you know what? I am very grateful for this. Like,
I
think that's a good way to start.
Can I also add on, because what you just said, Dani, is a really great leeway into the specific Yoga Sutra about gratitude. Sorry, our cat is, can you hear her? She's being really loud. I'm really grateful that she's so loud right now. Okay.
I love that.
Anyway, there's a specific Yoga Sutra about gratitude. I mean, I'm not a Sanskrit expert, but I'm not sure if there's a specific word that translates to gratitude yet. This definitely is like the practice of what we're talking about in the sutra. I will not read the Sanskrit out loud because I'm going to do a 300-hour training here in next year, and I'm going to learn how to pronounce it. I'm not going to not pronounce it very well right now. So I'm just going to say the English. When negative thoughts present themselves, cultivate and think the opposite thoughts with feeling. And I really like that. I really like the with feeling part. And there's a guy named Swami Veda who translates this in a way more like, you could call it intellectual. And I really like this way that it's translated too, because it uses like a really weird word. When misratiocinations, which I'll define in a second. When misratiocinations and deviant thoughts present themselves, one should counter these by cultivating and impressing upon oneself the opposite principles in contemplation. And so that crazy word, which I think he probably made up, is misratiocinations. That word means when logic and reason have gone haywire, which I really like.
Powerful.
Yeah. And there's a quote by the guy who wrote this article about the sutra. This guy's name is Richard Parenti. And after practicing some yoga, he had this thought that just came to him. Energy follows thought and returns to its source, you, the map maker. In other words, thought reproduces itself in the material world of matter. What you think about most with positive or negative feeling, you manifest. Your thoughts are a preview of coming attractions in your life. You are responsible for everything in your life, and you attracted it all through sloppy thinking and healthy thinking. There's no fine print to this. And so when I read that, I was like, boom, that's amazing. It's kind of like a really heady way of the law of attraction. But I feel like that's really what we're getting to with the using your power of choice to choose to be grateful for the small things, grateful for the big things, to express that gratitude. Because really, you being at the center of the, you know, the creation of your universe as you interact with the world, when your mind puts itself on the more positive or uplifting or like of growth or helpful, of service, all that good stuff on that section of life, like that's what's going to start manifesting around you. Because literally your mind will move away from the bad juju stuff more and more because it can't think of two things at once. You can only think about one thing at once. And when your mind moves away from the bad stuff more and more, that stuff will start to atrophy. It'll just start to atrophy. It's like you literally just don't send energy over there. Very woo-woo. And I still think very work-work.
Work-work. Well, you know what? This reminded me of Seneca the Younger. I think, yeah, Seneca the Younger. He's one of the Roman Stoic philosophers.
Yeah.
One of his quotes is, or he says, "You suffer more in your imagination than you do in reality."
Oh, wow. In your face. Wow. Anyone who argues with Seneca. So
powerful.
It is. And wow. I remember reading that, like, I don't know, it was a while ago, and I was like, oh, shit, you're right.
Snaps.
Yep. Yeah, snaps. Snaps. Seneca.
I mean, it's absolutely, it's a transformative thing to welcome into your life, because if you can take the problems and your anxiety and everything that you create in your mind and turn it into something positive, then you really have the power to transform your entire life. And then transitive property.
There you go.
Then you are slowly changing the world, like one step at a time, because your encounters with people, it's all kind of like a ripple effect, right? Yes. I know it sounds kind of corny and everything, but it really does start with that. And I can't think of a better time in history to really welcome the practice of gratitude into your life, because if there is a time to really feel negativity, I don't think that it's that there has been a time in history like now where you can really get bogged down by so many reasons why things are wrong and not to be grateful. So it's the perfect time to look at your life, and instead of focusing on everything that's wrong, pick a few things. And like you said, it's kind of like almost building a muscle memory of thinking about, okay, what is right with your life, and go from there.
Wow. Y'all,
you know what's also something really cool that I just remembered? Like you said, right? It's a process. It's a practice. And I think it's important to say that it is a process, and it's not going to be perfect.
Sometimes you're going to be right bad away at gratitude.
And you know what? Seneca also said, it's not about the deed itself. It's about the journey that got you there.
Snaps for Seneca.
I know. I'm telling you.
Hey, guys, listen up. We could talk for hours and hours with Danny, because Danny hasn't really talked to anyone other than her toddlers for 7 months. Yet, we got to wrap up this episode. So, we have been very grateful for it.
So grateful.
Cute and disgusting.
Hashtag grateful.
Let's go around and say one last thing that we would love to leave the listeners with. Yeah? Yeah.
Yeah.
Who wants to go first?
Maria, me?
We literally all just like looked at each other. Okay, Maria, Janon, let's do this order. Maria, Janon, Danny.
All right, awesome. So listeners, the one thing I want to leave you with is honestly the last thing I just said, which is it's a practice, and start small. You can start small. You don't need to be grateful for, like, I don't know, something major. Like, just start small. Like what Danny said earlier, just grateful for bagels. Something simple, but begin the practice. It's how you develop the habit.
What I would love to leave you with is the... Oh, my cat. Stop touching things.
you want to leave the listeners?
No, I don't want to leave you with my cat. Sorry. Gabrielle just was like, who, me? And totally touched all the cords. Okay. What was I going to say? So, I do have moments where I am either real pissed about something or real feeling real emo about something. I mean, it especially happened in my past when something pretty heavy occurred, and the idea of being grateful for it was almost it felt insulting. Yeah. So where I'm going with this, I know this is a real high note to leave on, is that you're like processing the emotions of something that you're not yet grateful for. Like maybe you are really like resisting that, or like you really wish it didn't happen. Let yourself have those moments of just like sitting with the emotion, holding space for it, feeling sad, like go to therapy, do your thing. And know that like that's a practice too, to sit with things you're not grateful for yet, because if you do, you will allow yourself to be grateful for them later in a really deep and meaningful way. There are certain things that have happened in my past that were really heavy and challenging to go through, like almost dying a few times, like, I don't know, having too many nights of too many like drugs and drinking, all that kind of stuff. In a really weird way, I have a lot of gratitude for those moments, because I got to see and empathize with people and like lifestyles that I would have never had the chance to. And so now as a teacher and a leader, I really like see and honor someone who's going through stuff like that, in a way where, I can really connect with people like that. And I'm very, very grateful for that. But it couldn't have happened had I not just like let myself be like, no, my life for like a year. Mm-hmm. I meant for that to be really short, and it ended up being really long. So thank you for waiting for me to finish. Your turn, Dani.
That's great. And it's crazy that you said that. And that's why I'm happy that you went first, because I went through a near-death experience as well. And I think that that's really where my really small journey of gratitude began, way before I found yoga. But what I want to leave listeners with is, from that note, exactly, is the next time that you're in a shitty mood and you have a bad day, something really bad happens to you. And I mean, I'm not, hopefully it doesn't, but I'm saying like, we all have shitty moods. We all have bad days. Mm-hmm. The next time that you find yourself in the midst of that, while you're going through it, and can you just think of one little thing, just like as simple as the fact that you're alive?
Yeah.
Because that's something that I've had to resort to lately, is when I find myself the most bogged down, the biggest challenge for me has been to look for the gratitude there. And that doesn't mean don't go through the emotions, because like Janan, like you just said, that's exactly, you have to go through the emotions. That's the only way that growth happens. That's the only way that you can really get the gratitude in big picture, but it will help you to get through it, to feel that little sense of, I am giving, like, just the fact that I have another breath to even go through this shit, like, that's something to be grateful for. So just remind yourself, like, just think of that, like, in the middle of it. And you don't necessarily have to feel that gooey, gooey, happy feeling that yet.
Cute and disgusting. But
just starting to cultivate it. Plant that little seed that when you're in the nitty gritty of it, remind yourself that that little breath that you have to even think about it is something to be grateful for.
Yes.
Thanks, Dani. Thank you so much for being on the show. Yes. That cute and disgusting feeling.
See, listeners, this topic is cute/disgusting. Wait, is that what it was? Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Dani, tell the listeners how they can find you on all the internets and stuff.
All the internets. Yes. So on Instagram, I am Buddha Belly Mama. I used to be Buddha Belly Yoga. I am centering. I'll do my shameless plug on a book that I wrote that is actually kind of like the whole birth of this children's book comes from the practice of gratitude, in the sense that it's about 2020. It's about a positive outlook and how 2020 will, in my view, be a catalyst for a lot of good to come in the future. And so it's a way to explain that to children and all the beautiful ways that this year will make their lives better.
Wow.
Yay. So
what's it called?
So follow me on Instagram. I will be announcing the fact that I'm even writing a book in the next few weeks.
Dani, what's your book called?
It's called In the Year 2020.
I love
that
it.
That is so good. Oh my God. We don't have.
And this book was born from gratitude. So there you go.
So we don't have kids, but we will definitely be buying a couple, like a copy for each of our cats.
I love it. I love it. Y'all are the best.
Okay, y'all. You heard her. It is Buddha Belly Mama on Instagram. Likely when this episode comes out, you will have already announced your book because we usually like record a few weeks ahead of time. So like, good timing, Danny. Good job.
Yeah. Hey, I might even use the episode to announce it. Who knows?
Oh, my God. An exclusive. Yeah. You heard it here first.
Wow.
Well, pretty much, because I really have only shared it with like a handful of people. So,
oh my gosh.
Pretty much.
So cool. Well, we're very excited. We're very grateful you came on the show. I love you guys. We got to get going, though, because it'd be 9 p.m.
It'd be late.
And
it'd be late.
Yeah. I don't. We're not night owls in this blanket area. We're not really in
a virtual blanket area.
Yeah. Hey, I'm up at 6 a.m., so I'm ready for bed.
Ooh, gosh. Okay, guys, right. It's time to say bye. Everyone, just say the word bye. We're leaving. Bye.
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 Blanket Ninja.
BYO Blanket is a production of The Light Generation.
The BYO Blanket jingle was composed and produced by Studio Sassafras Music in Houston, Texas.
And the vocals are by Jessica Zoller. Thanks for listening.